Have you ever wanted to see your products on the shelves of a big box store? Well, today's guest is PaperCamp alumni and Labs member Krishna Shavda, who recently navigated her first purchase order from a large national bookstore chain. Krishna is the illustrator, owner, and self-proclaimed pun queen of Nanu Studios, a purveyor of punny and pretty paper products. Nanu Studios offers a wide range of highly illustrated and vibrant greeting cards, stickers, and art prints that spread joy, connection, and chuckles. On today's episode, Krishna shares her startup story and how her culture and personality inspire her art. She talks about why she decided to attend Paper Camp after successfully selling wholesale and exhibiting at several trade shows on her own. And she shares how her products landed on the shelves of a national retail chain, including how the connection was made and what it was like to fill the order. Today's episode is brought to you by our Paper Camp program. Through Paper Camp, we have taught thousands of brands how to successfully start and scale their wholesale programs. We're talking more stores, larger orders, consistent reorders, and sustainable wholesale growth. If you want to see your products on the shelves of stores big and small, head to proofedaproduct.com/papercamp to learn more. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Krishna, welcome to Proof to Product.
Katie, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm excited to chat with you today. Let's start off talking about how your business came to be. It's a little bit of a unique story, and I understand it starts with a typo. Can you tell me more?
Yes. So originally I started as Nanu Illustration, not Nanu Studio. And my whole thing was I wanted to be a freelance editorial illustrator. I was making the occasional holiday type illustration. I'd post it on Instagram. I mean, not Instagram, Facebook at the time. And that was sort of it. Then one day my friend texted me, Vincent Van Gogh, make it happen. And I was like, well, this is the best idea ever. You're also an illustrator. Why aren't you drawing this? And where did this idea even come from?
Yeah.
And so she responded saying, I need instant gratification. You're a faster drawer than I am. And it's a typo from a student's exam. So my friend Catherine, she is a professor of art in Georgia, and she'd given some tests. The student had misspelled Van Gogh as G-O-P-H instead of G-O-G-H. And she was just like, I need to make this happen. Her mind went all over the place with her wordplay, landed on Vincent Van Gogh. So I drew it. And then once I started, I couldn't stop with the ideas. Like I just had it like a free flow of all these like famous animals with, you know, real person and their like animal counterpart merged together. So I made like 10 illustrations of famous animals within like 6 weeks.
Wow.
And I was posting them on Instagram. People were loving them. I was getting comments from friends being like, these would be great posters. These would be great cards. And at the same time, one of my friends who lives not too far from me in a town called Montclair, she has a storefront. And she's also she frequently is a part of the Montclair Art Walk, which happens twice a year. And it was coming up. So she invited me to be her like featured artist with these animal drawings.
Oh, wow.
And so then I was like, all right, cool. And I printed, maybe she was the one who suggested doing greeting cards. So I got like pre-scored paper from Red River and printed stuff on my home printer and then just showed up with like a little stand and like printouts. And they did really well. And people were asking, oh, do you have birthday cards? Do you have this? Do you have that? And so that's when I started like introducing more cards, and then my line just sort of expanded from there. So that was around 2014. So it wasn't until 2018 that I actually launched wholesale. And at that point had a solid collection of cards and note cards. And
I was going to ask, so
at that point too,
when you kind of fall into something like that, our mindset's different than I'm starting a business, I'm running a business. It's more of a side fun thing I'm doing when I have time or when the creativity sparks. So I wanted to ask you, like, at what point did you realize, okay, this is a business I want to pursue as a for-profit type thing?
I think it was always there. Like, the thought of it being a business thing that I would do more than just a side hustle was always at the back of my mind with it, especially because it started off so popular so quickly.
Yeah. You had that instant validation.
But I hadn't really thought about wholesale until much later, mostly because I was very intimidated by it. Yeah. I'd heard of National Stationery Show. I'd never walked it. I didn't quite understand what the deal was or what, like, how to prepare for it. And at that point, I don't think I'd even really heard of Proof to Product or Trade Show Bootcamp as you were back then.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's worth noting too, there's a lot of serious profitable businesses that don't sell wholesale. They just focus on direct to consumer. They do markets. They do online e-commerce. Like, you don't have to sell wholesale to be, you know, I'm doing air quotes here, legitimate, you know, a legitimate business. So I guess, you know, when I started, it was similar in that it was my wedding and then I did cards for my bridesmaids and everybody else. And, you know, I kind of fell into it too. And I knew from the start, like you, that this was something I wanted to pursue on a more serious level. Like you, I also had a day job. So you currently still work at a day job. Is that correct? And then run the business as well? What is that like for you?
Oh my God, it's overwhelmingly busy. In the beginning, so when I launched wholesale, or when I thought about launching wholesale in 2017, I was still freelancing. I was teaching as well, teaching college level. I was teaching at art centers, and it was just a lot to juggle. And I felt like I couldn't focus on the illustration part of it. So I was like, all right, I guess I have to go back to corporate in order to make ends meet. And that way, at least it can help me pay for my life and also maybe even subsidize the business as I try to grow it. So I basically launched wholesale and started this corporate job at the same time.
Wow.
And so my first year, I did National Stationery Show in May in 2018. This was 4 months into my day job, which at the time, and I mean, it still is, but at the time was even more demanding because I was learning a whole new industry, which is designing repeat patterns for kids' swimwear. And while I'd worked in fashion before, I hadn't worked specifically in swimwear, and it's a whole different beast. So it was a very demanding sort of calendar with work. And so with the trade show, I kind of just did the show, did no follow-up because I just didn't have the time or the bandwidth for it.
Yeah.
And so then the following year I signed up again and had a little bit more of a sense of like, okay, I need to do follow-up. I need to like do X, Y, and Z. So I started doing that a little bit more. And then by the end of 2019, I guess, I was like, all right, I really like, this is what I need to do. I need to understand like how to really properly market myself and make the most of this. Otherwise, I'm just like throwing my money at trade shows for no reason.
Right.
So I think so 2020 happened. I did the show. It was my best show yet. And that was when Stationery Show was still co-locating with New York Now.
Mm-hmm.
And then pandemic happened. And actually, that worked out to be like a boon, I guess, for me, where now that I wasn't commuting to work, I had the extra hours in my day to actually focus on growth and like learning stuff. And at that time, you had just launched Proof to Product Labs. And I had been debating doing Paper Camp earlier because I've been talking to Kate Murray and a few other Paper Camp alums. And they were raving about it. And I was like, well, you know, I've been doing this for a few years. I don't know if I actually need to do Paper Camp because I feel like the stuff is stuff I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you launch Labs. And I was like, yes, this is what I need. And it really helped sort of keep me on track and see where all my gaps were. And then, finally I was like, all right, let me just take Paper Camp because I feel like I still need some foundational work. And when I took the the program, it was sort of, it was very validating because some of the stuff I'd already been doing the way you sort of prescribed it. And then there were other things that you, was discussed where I was like, oh, I could do this differently.
Yeah. You know, that pain point is something I hear commonly from people of like, I've been wholesaling for a while. I've done a trade show or two. Like, I don't think I need paper camp. I think it's too, you know, rudimentary. And I said, actually, we will, I promise you that we will probably fill in a lot of holes or, as to your point, validate certain things that you've been doing just because you think that's what you need to be doing. We also have people that have been doing certain things that they don't need to be doing. And just even removing that from their plate provides a lot of relief and gives them more time and money to put back into their business. So.
Exactly. And for me, that was great. And I think the bigger benefit for me was the expanded community.
Yeah, for sure.
So whenever I had questions, I had people to go to and be like, and ask for help or advice. And that was very, very beneficial.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so since 2020, it's really gotten busier and busier in terms of the business and then juggling all of that with work. And starting this year, it's been even crazier. So it's been like an extra, I finally have like a time block calendar because if I don't do that, then my life's a mess.
It's so hard.
We are.
I think back to that time in my life, I had overlap with a very intense corporate job and at 1.2 businesses for over 4 years. And the way you describe it is perfect. It was chaos and it was crazy. And that block schedule helped me so much to find, okay, I've got time to dedicate here. I've got time to dedicate there. I do look back on that time and I think to myself, that did provide me with a lot of opportunities for my family and for the business because I was able to take the revenue from the business and reinvest it in new product or trade shows or things like that. Do you kind of feel that same way about the J job giving you flexibility within the business to some degree?
Oh, yes, 100%. I'm still in the phase where I'm supplementing a little bit from my salary, mm-hmm. but it has like, if I am just burnt out, I can sort of put the business to the side for a little bit and be like, all right, I'm going to take a break. It's going to be there for me, but I just mentally need to step away so I can continue doing this and not feel like I'm going to give up completely.
Which is so important, our taking care of ourselves as a human being before prioritizing ourselves as a business owner or an employee of another company. I mean, if we don't take care of ourselves, also, we will burn out.
Yeah. And delegating also helped. Like the first and only thing I've really delegated so far permanently has been my bookkeeping and accounting.
Nice.
And I have a wonderful bookkeeper who does she keeps track of my entire financial life. Fantastic. Personally, across the personal and the business. And I just don't have to think about it. And it's like the best thing ever.
Especially for people that, I mean, I don't know if this is you, but I'm going to generalize here. I've worked with so many different people that do not like to be in the numbers. They are intimidated by the numbers. They'd rather just make their things, sell their things and check their bank account to see what money they have to spend. And so having that bookkeeper gives you so much relief because you're not just making decisions blindly. You have the data points to look at.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, I like that info and I want to know those things. I just don't know how to make sense of it.
Yeah.
So it's having her has really been a blessing.
Well, and that's the amazing part. It's other people's skill sets complementing your needs and skill sets too. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you though. What were you saying?
Oh yeah. And the other thing was that I also just didn't have time to update my mailing list. So I'd get, a whole book full of, business cards at the shows and then they've just sit there.
Yeah.
So one day I asked one of my friends, I was like, hey, you like doing mundane database work, right? She's like, yeah, I love it. I was like, great. Here's an entire book. Can you put this into Excel for me? And so I just paid her. And so for a few years, that's what I'd been doing where every time I did a show, I would just give her the book and she would update all the stuff for me. Or I'd flag a whole bunch of things and in a whole bunch of stores in Instagram. And then she would do a dump for me into Excel and fill in all of that information that I needed.
That's amazing.
So that was really helpful. now she's super busy. So I am trying to find somebody else who can help me. And I'm probably going to tap into my niece and nephew circle for that.
Nice. Oh, that's good. My kids want summer jobs. I might put them to work with some of that research type stuff too. So that's awesome. You know, you incorporate your multicultural upbringing into the products that you design and create, but that wasn't something you started with. Do you mind telling us a little bit about your choices and the journey there?
Yes. So I am Indian, of Indian heritage. Both my parents are Indian, but my dad was born and raised in Tanzania. I was born in New York, raised in Tanzania for the first almost 14 years of my life. My parents still live there. So I go back as often as I possibly can. And so I grew up with like the culture of living in Tanzania and being surrounded by the people there and like the foods and the textiles and the colors, but then also, you know, have all this Indian tradition as well. Yeah. And all the colors and textiles and everything that comes along with it. And it's always been a big part of my life. I didn't ever really incorporate those parts of my life into my business just because I didn't think that they would be received well or be understood. Aside from like the bold colors, my love for textiles and patterns, like that's all in my work. It was the more like cultural part of it that I sort of shied away from. But then I started realizing as I was making cards that, you know, why not make Diwali cards? Like it's not really something that we necessarily send to each other, but I've gotten so many WhatsApp messages being like, happy Diwali. And it's like this generic looking image that everybody sends.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of overdone aesthetic. So I was like, you know, there's more to Diwali that I appreciate and like the, you know, want to share. So it's like this, the sweets, the fireworks, that, you know, all the vibrancy and all the love and like community that's happening during festivities.
It sounds like bringing the experience into the product that was lacking.
Yeah. And exactly. And like, there's really no Diwali cards out there on the market that are contemporary or, you know, just fun.
Yeah.
So I figured that's what I would start doing and not just focus on the Christmas cards that I'd already been doing or, you know, the more Western holidays.
What kind of shifts did you see in your business when you started implementing those types of cards and bringing your culture into your products?
People were more interested. Like whenever I did posts about it on Instagram, I got a lot of, you know, like, oh, this is really cool. This is awesome. I didn't know that. Like, it sounds like, you know, the Hindu version of Hanukkah, and like, it kind of is in some ways because they're both the festival of lights.
Right.
And then it's just turned into like, I mean, I, for lack of better phrasing, like a gateway drug to my brand. because a lot of buyers will see it and be like, oh, I don't have these. There's a lot of Indian people in my area that I sell to. Let me order them.
Yeah.
And so then I'll just gain new buyers because of these cards. And that's happened more recently with like the, you know, national chains and stuff. So.
Well, and the general consumer has to be so pumped to see more representation of their own cultures within the market too. So, you know, it's good for your brand, but it's good overall to have that representation. So I think it's great that you added that. And I love too that it's opening doors in different ways to all of your products, to these different brands. You mentioned some big box stores. I know you recently got a large purchase order, actually two purchase orders from a large bookstore. Do you mind telling us how that relationship came to be? Did you approach them? Did they pitch you? How did that all come about?
Kind of neither. So I am a member of the Greeting Card Association. And this past February, I did New York Now, but as a GCA Village exhibitor. And so I was one of, I think there were 16 of us in total exhibitors in one section where we all got one panel. And in like my neighbor to the right, Brad of Imaginating, and my neighbor across from me, Jason of Fine Moments, both of them I got to talk to. I mean, we had been communicating anyway because we had a WhatsApp group with like all of us before the show even happened, just be like, how are you doing this? Like, how are you preparing? I need advice on X, Y, and Z.
That's awesome.
So when we actually got to like meet in person, I was like, hey, I already know you, we're friends. And at some point I noticed the two of them talking to this gentleman who I was like, who is this guy? Because he just seems to also be making his rounds and like, you know, seems to know everyone. He's talking to everyone. And he's like, really been like having long conversations with these two. And so at some point I asked like Jason and I was like, so who's this guy? It turned out that this gentleman that he'd been talking to is a rep for a big box store. And he offered to introduce me. And so it's the next time he came over, we just started chatting and Jason was like, hey, check it out. This is Krishna's work. And it's sort of just happened very naturally where we were talking about music. He saw my stuff. He really liked my things. And then, you know, we continued talking about music and it was a really long conversation about music. And I was like, you know what? I actually have cards that are related to music. So I showed them to him. He's like, these are hilarious. You should show them. You should be in this big box store. You should show them to the buyer there. Do you know her? And I was like, no, I don't. And he's like, all right, well, I'll bring her over. So then he brought her over and basically pitched my work to them.
That's amazing.
And then, you know, he was like, all right, let's follow up after the show. And that's sort of where that relationship started. And they were very excited to find somebody who does Diwali cards.
Yeah.
And so the first PO is all Diwali.
And then the second one, is it a mix of other things or is it additional?
The second one is actually Hanukkah.
Okay.
But yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off. I love this story because you never know where these kind of opportunities are going to come about. It's about who we know. It's about the network we build. It's about being in the right place at the right time. It's about having that conversation about music with someone that may or may not, you know, end up purchasing from you. But you didn't go into it with that mentality of I'm trying to like sell him my music cards. You know, you just were having a conversation right with somebody that was interesting. And
yeah,
these things do happen organically for sure.
And he was awesome because he was also, he talked to my mentor at some point who was, you know, a couple of booths away. And I had been talking to my mentor about like other opportunities, but through licensing. Mm-hmm. And so at some point he came back to me and was like, look, you're sort of at a crossroads in your business where you could go the licensing route or you could go the wholesale route where you do everything. Which one do you want to do? Yeah. And he sort of talked me through it. And I was like, oh, you're pretty great. Like you're, you know, explaining all the different options and
the pros and cons of each other. Yeah,
exactly. And I was like, no, I definitely want to go the full shebang where I'm like producing everything and supplying it. And he was like, great, we can work together. I was like, awesome.
That's cool. You know, you've talked a lot about how different communities have aided you in your growth, proof to product community, the GCA community. How do you continue to nurture those relationships? And then also, I know you believe in paying it forward too. So how are you also then turning back and supporting others within the communities?
I am, well, the texting really helps. So I just like, I've made friends with so many people across both communities that they're not just like colleagues, they're like actual friends.
Right.
And so we're texting constantly where it's like, hey, what do you think about this idea? You know, I am thinking about expanding my pricing or changing my pricing. Can you shed some light on that? And just that has been great. And, you know, even if we just go out to have like drinks or something, like that's, and we don't talk about stationery, which is very rare, it's still like a fun time. And then you get to know more, like they bring their friends and so you get to know those people. And so it's just like this ends up being this melting pot of like good stationery, fun people.
Well, businesses, you know, my mantra, like businesses are built on relationships and it's who we know. Kind of going back to your example with this recent big box store that you're working with now too, it's about meaningful touch points, having authentic relationships, having conversations, connecting with people. And then to your point too, their extended network of friends and colleagues. I think for those that are listening that are maybe just starting out in their business, it's super important. I want to encourage you to find your space, find a community of people that make similar products to you or have similar types of business to you, because it's been critical to me in growing my different businesses. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's been critical to you too, Krishna.
Oh, completely. I don't think that I would be where I am now had it not been for the two various communities.
Yeah.
And the different interactions that I've had with the people within the industry, like even my connection to Paper Source was through a community member.
Yeah.
Because they approached her about Diwali cards. And she was like, no, I'm a white Jewish woman. I'm not going to do that. Let me introduce you to Krishna. And so that's how that relationship happened. And I've done that before where it's like, hey, somebody's come to me and I'm like, I don't have the right, you know, I'm not the right person for this, but here's so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say, but other than
I love that example. I have a similar story, and I've told it here on the podcast before, of when I would be at our trade shows for Kelp Designs, my stationery brand, and people would come into the booth and they'd want gift wrap, for example. And I knew my neighbor across the way, Claudia from Fig 2, she sold gift wrap at the time that was just gorgeous. She no longer offers it, but I would literally walk buyers out of my booth over to my friend's booth because I knew that would fill their need. And I knew that that would help Claudia, that would help the buyer. And ultimately at some point it would come back to help me too. And it's exactly what you're talking about too. You know, as we wrap this up, for those just starting their product-based businesses, and given the amount of knowledge and experience you have now, what advice would you offer them?
I think my number one thing would be to find the community. Yeah, just from my own experience, that has been this probably the single most beneficial thing that's happened to me. Yeah. For the business and personally, just my friend group has gotten so much bigger and more, like there's so much more support now than there was before I met everyone.
That's amazing.
So I would say find your people.
Awesome. All right. What's coming up for you? What do you have in the pipeline that you want to share with our audience?
I am working on some new releases, probably not until later this year. I'm also working on new product development. I haven't done that in a while, and I have a project that I've been sitting on that I have samples for. It's been like 2 years that I've been sitting on it. So now I'm finally like, all right, let me actually try and get these out into the world and see how they do. And I am very interested in developing eco-friendly wrapping paper. Very so cool. That's where I'm at right now.
Awesome. Well, tell people where they can find you online to check out your products and then also follow you on social.
My Instagram is @nanostudioco. And my website is nanostudio.co.
Awesome. We will include those links in the show notes for everybody listening. Krishna, it was so fun to hear your story and thank you for sharing your journey with us. It's always so fun to talk to our community members and to see their growth and success. I'm just so proud of you and excited for all that's ahead for you. So congratulations on everything.
Well, thank you. It was really fun talking to you too.
Thank you. I love chatting with our alumni, and I particularly loved hearing Krishna's startup story and how her culture has influenced her work. I also appreciated her sharing how her relationship with this big box bookstore came to be. I know that for many of you, selling wholesale feels like a far-off dream, but it doesn't have to be. In our Paper Camp program, we break down everything into bite-sized pieces and then wrap it up in this comprehensive, easy to understand package. Gone are the days of Googling everything. We'll teach you how to ensure your product and profit margins are ready for wholesale. We'll walk you through must-have sales tools, and we'll even provide catalog audits so that you can see what you're missing. We'll give you our wholesale outreach process and email templates so that you know what to say and when to reach out. And if you're interested in trade shows, we'll dissect everything that you need to know there: branding, budgeting, building and designing a booth, and more. Head to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp to learn more, and we look forward to working with you. I appreciate you guys staying till the end here. I'll be back next week with a new episode.